In the ancient Near East, idols were considered to be living beings that had feelings and needs. It was thought that the particular god's spirit dwelt within the idol. We find evidence that in Egypt and Mesopotamia, they were even washed, dressed, and fed just like real people. There is a humorous story that illustrates these practices in the Midrash, where Abraham's father Terah leaves his son Abraham in charge of his idol shop. It begins, Terah was a manufacturer of idols. He once went away somewhere and left Abraham to sell them in his place. A man came and wished to buy one. How old are you? Abraham asked him. 50 years, was the reply. Woe to such a man, he exclaimed. You are 50 years old and would worship a day-old object? At this he became ashamed and departed. On another occasion, a woman came with a plate full of flour and requested him, Take this and offer it to them. So he took a stick, broke them, and put the stick in the hand of the largest. When his father Terah returned, he demanded, What have you done to them? I cannot conceal it from you, Abraham rejoined. A woman came with a plate full of fine meal and requested me to offer it to them. One claimed, I must eat it first, while another claimed, I must eat it first. Thereupon the largest idol arose, took the stick, and broke them. Why do you make sport of me? Terah cried out. Have they then any knowledge? Abraham responded. Should not your ears listen to what your mouth is saying? Not only were idols worshipped, but they also appear to have served as a symbol of inheritance rights as well as protection and well-being. This explains why Rachel would take her father's idols in Genesis chapter 31 and verse 19. She did not take them in order to worship them, but to spite her father and take away what he perceived as his blessing and inheritance. Scholars often debate why idolatry was so tempting to the Israelites. One reason seems to be its link to sexuality and immoral behavior. Paganism in the Israelites' day offered a sanctification of such abominable practices, and therefore the temptation to participate in idolatry was strong. Orthodox scholar Hertz Hefter brings a Talmudic story from Tractate Sanhedrin that helps illustrate this point. The story is about a dream that Rabbi Ashi had, in which Jacob's son Manasseh appears to him. Rabbi Ashi then questioned Manasseh, Since you're so wise, why did you worship idols? Manasseh replied, Were you there, you would have caught up the skirt of your garment and sped after me. Hefter finds a subtle clue here about the illusion of idolatry in the phrase, lifted up your skirt, which he feels is a euphemism for immoral behavior. In other words, the temptation of idolatry involves sexual temptation as well. This is certainly the sense we get from the story in Numbers chapter 25, where Israel is enticed into idolatry with the daughters of Moab. The text tells us that Israel played the harlot by eating and bowing down to their gods. The Torah goes on to allude to a sexual encounter in front of the tabernacle between a man from the tribe of Simeon and a Midianite woman. Indeed, Israel was often drawn into worshiping many of the gods of the surrounding nations, especially in the kingdom years. Most popular was the worship of Baal, Asherah, and Ashtaroth. Surprisingly, idolatry was often supported by Israel's monarchies themselves. Throughout the history of Israel's kings, we see a recurring cycle. First, there's a king who would lead Israel astray into Avodah Zarah, and then the very next king would have them repent and turn back to the Torah. Biblical examples of this apostasy abound. Before heading out into battle in 1 Samuel chapter 7, Samuel has to exhort Israel to abandon their idols and turn to Hashem. Then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, If you return to the Lord with all your heart, remove the foreign gods and the Ashtaroth from among you, and direct your hearts to the Lord and serve him alone, and he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. There is also the story in Judges chapter 6, where Gideon tears down the altar of Baal and the Asheroth in Joash. The people of Joash are so angry that they say in verse 30, Bring out your son that he may die. For he has torn down the altar of Baal, and indeed he has cut down the Asherah, which was beside it. In Jezebel's day there were 450 prophets of Baal, and 400 prophets of Asherah within Israel. The prophet Amos lambastes Israel for its idolatry, and tells them that they will be severely punished for their covenantal unfaithfulness. Did you present me with sacrifices and grain offerings in the wilderness for 40 years, O house of Israel? You also carried along Sikuth, your king, and Kiyun, your images, the star of your gods, which you made for yourselves. Therefore, I will make you go into exile beyond Damascus, says the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts. There is even the incident in 1 Kings chapter 18, where some of the children of Israel begin to worship the bronze serpent that once was used by God to bring them healing from the plague in the wilderness. Idolatry in Israel was an ongoing problem that did not begin to disappear until after the Babylonian captivity. After this tragic event, it appears that for the most part, Israel was cured of its temptations to follow after idolatry. Evidence of this is seen in the heroic battles of the Maccabees against the pagan influences of Antiochus Epiphanes and the Greeks. Because idolatry was such a problem, it is no wonder that a total of 46 of the traditional 613 commandments of the Torah were negative injunctions against idolatry. The Torah does not leave one stone unturned when it comes to defining what is acceptable worship practice and what is not. Furthermore, detailed instructions are given for proper worship, including all the commandments surrounding the tabernacle and later temple. The rabbis of the Talmud would echo the serious nature of the offense of Avodah Zarah. To them, idolatry was one of the three cardinal sins one must never transgress, even upon penalty of death. Rabbi Yochanan said, "By a majority vote, it was resolved that in every other law of the Torah, if a man is commanded, transgress and suffer not death, he may transgress and not suffer death, excepting idolatry, incest, which includes adultery, and murder." Biblical characters such as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were thrown into the fiery furnace for not bowing down to King Nebuchadnezzar, are set up as the ultimate example of suffering martyrdom rather than participating in idolatry. Additionally, it was believed that to abstain from idolatry is akin to the fulfillment of all of the commandments of Torah, while to practice idolatry was tantamount to denying the entire Torah. Even the placement of the tractate on the prohibitions of idolatry, Avodah Zarah, in the larger section of Nezikin, damages, gives us a window into how the rabbis viewed idolatry as actually damaging to the spiritual forces of creation themselves.